turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. I do just want to thank Preacher for this opportunity. I really never did imagine. I imagined me sitting in the tent, but I didn't imagine me standing up here behind this pulpit being able to preach. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're just going to read one verse. If y'all stand for the reverence of reading God's word, we're just going to read verse 29. 1 Samuel 17:29, it says, "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not cause?'" Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, just please help me calm my nerves, dear Lord. Only have me to say what I need to, dear God. Help me not to get distracted, dear Lord, and that there'd at least be one person that just grasped one idea, dear Lord, and that it would change their lives, dear God. And just thank you for this meeting. Just help me, dear God, and the other preachers that will be preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so we are in 1 Samuel, but if you will, use your imagination with me. Let's wind the clock up. Let's wind the clock back about 6,000 years. There's nothing. It's black. And then all you hear is, "Let there be light." That's how creation began. In the Bible, first verse is, "In the beginning, God." There is no evolving. It's in the beginning, God created. And we see creation. It happened 6 days, 6 24-hour period days. Creation happened. And then Adam and Eve, they sin, and they are kicked out of the garden. And then we get all the way to Noah. And Noah and his family was saved in the flood. And then we get Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Joseph. And then they go to Egypt during the famine. And then they exodus out of Egypt. And then they're in the wilderness 40 years. And then they get the Canaan land. They have the judges, the prophets, and they have Saul, their first king. And now we are here in 1 Samuel with David fighting Goliath David is, as some would call, a giant killer. But if we would look in the past chapter, chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, we would see David just didn't get here just because. We first see that, number one, he was obedient. Jesse, his father, had told him, "I need you to go take this to him." And he didn't have a rebellious attitude about it. He just went, he said, "Yes, sir," and obeyed. We also see he didn't just, he obeyed, but the Bible says he rose up early in the morning. That applies to us as Christians. You know, if the Lord has told us to do something, we don't just wait. The Holy Spirit is convicting us. We get it. We do it immediately. We get it right to where we were. And that's just, we can keep talking about how David got there. But today I just want to show you three character traits that we can all learn from David. Number one, David was a man who fought for things. Yeah. We see there in our text, he says, "Is there not a cause?" Well, you might be asking, well, what's one of the causes? Well, number one, I say the cause is God. We see in verse 26, the second half, it says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" We see that Goliath, he was mocking and he was cursing the living God. Well, God, our God is the living God, if you don't know that. He is the living God. He created us. And so we see that David, he stood up for God. I got a quote. It says, from Ronald Reagan, he said, "I believe with all my heart that standing up for America means standing up for God who has blessed our land. We need God's help to guide our nation through stormy seas, but we can't expect him to protect America in a crisis if we just leave him over on the shelf in our day-to-day living." Even in Ronald Reagan's day, he saw that if we take God out of a situation, it's not going to make it any better. That's every day, whatever we're doing, if we take God out of the situation, it's only going to make it more, it's only going to make it worse. Another cause, he fought for his future family, and his future freedom. We see the Philistines and the Israelites, they agreed that whoever lost the fight would be then the winner's servants. And when David heard that, he's like, we can't go into bondage. We look at it now, we have the Bible. What would have happened if Israel would have went into bondage that day? I mean, would David and Jonathan had such a great relationship that we can look back on? Would David have been killed? Would Solomon have ever been born? Would Solomon have ever built the temple? And the list can go on and on. But he fought for those things. And we need to do the same. We need to stand for God and for right now more than we ever have. Because God isn't just ignored by some people. He is full blown out hated by people that dedicate their lives hating him. Another quote from Ronald Reagan is, "Freedom is the very essence of our nation. To be sure, ours is not a perfect nation, but even with our troubles, remain the beacon of hope for oppressed people everywhere. Never give up a fight for freedom, a fight which, though it may never end, is the most ennobling known to man." And now we see that quote, it was for America, but we can also apply that to our Christian life, to our church. You know, we can't give up the fight. Our church is a beacon of hope for the surrounding area. Our pastor is a beacon of hope for people all across the United States. We see there is an importance for fighting for things. But are there things that you're fighting for? There are so many members of our church that fought so we can meet here today for the 50th anniversary. Now, if the Lord tarries and we have a 75th or 100th anniversary, what is our church going to be like? Is our church still going to be a great, godly, on fire for God, soul-saving, God-loving, devil-hating, godly music playing, King James Holy Bible preaching, Holy Spirit conviction church? Are we still going to be that? Are we setting the example for the next generation to be that? Amen. We see that not only David was a man that fought for things, but David was a man after God's own heart. If you want to flip over to Acts 13:22, and the last part of the verse, it says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Now, if we were looking for Samuel chapter 13, the Lord told Samuel after Saul had disobeyed, "Go find a man to be our king after mine own heart." David was a man after God's own heart, but how did he get there? Well, you know, we can look at David's life and we see so many character traits that's in God. You know, God is humble, he is merciful, he did what was right, God's just is righteous, and he has justice, and we see that in David's life. And preacher always says the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Right. But how do we get to that place to where we be able to say that we are a man or a lady after God's own heart? Well, number one, you have to get saved. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You have to get saved. Second, we have to have a daily walk with God. You know, it's said of Enoch in Hebrews 11, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." If the Lord were to write a book and everyone were to be in it, what would be said of you? What would be, as you might call it, your title? What would be said of you? Would you be a man after God's own heart? Or would you be, you know, out of the 12 spies that went to Canaan, we really didn't talk about two. We only talk about Joshua and Caleb. We really don't really talk about too much the other 10 by names. Right. You know, what would be said of you? Right. So we see, you know, David fought for some things. David was a man after God's own heart. Then lastly, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see that David, he messed up. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." We see God sent Nathan the prophet to go and tell David that he did wrong. God saw that he did wrong. We can look in chapter 11 of what, you know, the sin that he did. But, you know, how did a man after God's own heart get there? How did he get to that spot? Well, most importantly, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Right. We can look back and, you know, in 2 Samuel, and we see that, you know, the Bible says that the kings were supposed to be at war at this time. David was at home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And then we also see, you know, David, he tried covering his sins. Right. You know, he went as far to as killing Uriah, murdering Uriah to cover his sins. And God has told us, you know, you can't hide your sins from God. You can't try and cover it. But in our lives, the Lord will send somebody or something that tells you, "Hey, I know you sinned. You better get it repented." But we do see David did repent to God. Second Samuel, we can see in 2 Samuel 12 and all through the Psalms that David did repent to God. But, you know, now as Christians, we've had a godly heritage of 50 years. I'd hate to see that, you know, some little sin would get in our church as unconfessed, and that would tear or split our church apart. You know, if you do have sin tonight, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you do have sin in your life, let's just get it confessed. Let's get it ready for tonight so that we can have a great week. You know, and if you say, hey, I've got confessed, I'm clean to God. Do you still have the fire of God that you used to when you first got saved? You know that feeling as soon as you got saved, you want to tell everybody you met about Jesus and about the gospel. Do we still have that today? So in conclusion, just 3 questions, and you can look at your own life. Number 1, are you fighting for God? Are you fighting for right? Are you fighting for your future? Your future family, your future freedom, and ultimately your future church? If you were in a book or the Bible, you know, what would be said of you? Would you be a man after God's own heart? And 3, you know, if you have sin, let's get confessed. Let's just get clean tonight. Or maybe if you haven't confessed, let's get the fire of God that we used to.
Yep. Man, come on.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, just thank you for calming my nerves, dear Lord, and just that the people, that they wouldn't forget it, dear Lord. I know there's going to be better sermons coming, dear Lord, but that they would just apply at least 1 thing to their lives, dear God, and help the other guys that will be preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.